Well, it's good to be here and be part of this celebration. And gentlemen, sorry about that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You notice Dr. Barber and I both have pink on today. Real men wear pink, you know. Amen. Well, I'm not going to keep you long, like Elizabeth Taylor said to her eighth or ninth husband, I don't know. Besides all of that, Brother Sides has announced two times, at least two times, that I'm going to be short today. All right? So, well, I know that's what I told you, but I didn't think he was going to repeat it. That's the only thing he's ever quoted me on, ever. He's heard me preach a lot, but at least he quoted me on that. But anyway, we're going to have a good time in the Lord. God is good. Turn to Matthew 16, 18, very familiar passage. Matthew 16 and 18, and if I were to give my message a title, it would be The Church. The Church. Matthew 16, 18, well, let's back up to verse 17. Matthew 16, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, you're the little rock. And upon this rock, the big rock, Jesus, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He also said in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the what? Church. In the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I am convinced from the Bible that the church is important to God. And I believe that Jesus ordained it. God ordained the local New Testament church. As a matter of fact, according to the Bible, he is its founder and head, is he not? Jesus is the head of the church, and Christ ordained it. We know that there was a church in Jerusalem. We often kid, we call it the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem. But I believe if you had checked their doctrine and our doctrine, you'd find out it pretty well coincides. But we know that they had a church there, and that church in Jerusalem was blessed by God. Paul and Barnabas went out on missionary journeys. And after they went out on missionary journeys, what did they do? They ordained people in that church and started churches. Local, New Testament, indigenous, self-governing churches. It was a matter of the practice of early missions to do exactly that. And they were local churches. Always. And we think of the body of Christ. All believers belong to that. But when you study the scriptures, the vast majority of times, I'm talking about 90-95% of the times, when you see the word church, ecclesia, it is a local body of called out baptized believers. A church that God ordained. And in that church, God set up pastors and deacons, or pastors and elders, which are synonymous terms. In the book of Acts, we read about the Jerusalem church. And then one day, boy, they had a great service. 3,000 people got saved. Man, I'd like to have been there. 3,000 people got saved. Later on, 5,000 people got saved. Can you imagine how busy they were baptizing all those people? And they added them, the Bible says, to the church. And then they multiplied so fast, they finally started saying multitudes were saved. People all over the place were being saved. And that was an exciting time, the early church. And the church at Corinth was established. The church at Smyrna was established. And Sardis and Philippi and Laodicea and the church at Ephesus and many like that. They ordained these local churches because there was a need for them. And I'm glad this church got started one day. Amen. And I do appreciate the memory of Bob Barber myself. Not too many years ago, we had him back here for an anniversary. We were going to have him back, but his health just would not let him come back at that time. But I'm glad we at least were able to have him back here that one time. And Bob Barber wanted to start an organization called the church, the local church, Worth Baptist Church. Now, it's not only an organization. I want you to know that the church is an organism. There's a difference. An organization may have a president, but I want to tell you that an organism has one head, and the head is Jesus Christ. And he's the one that gives life to that organization, to the body, the church. And when we think of the church, we think of a body. In fact, the Lord says when you think of this local New Testament church, think of it as a body, like your very own body. Your eyes and your ears and your hands and your feet and your heart, so on and so forth. The body, it is a living body, and I'm glad that it is a living body. Now, a corpse is very organized, right? I mean, they're very organized. I mean, everything's in place, and they have all of the different parts of the body there. There's one problem, they don't have any life. But a true church that is a biblical church is going to be an organism that has life to it. It will not be dead. Well, after Bob Barber, Dr. Raymond Barber came, and he continued the same fundamental doctrines that Bob Barber had started with, the same philosophy about God, the teaching about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, anything you want to talk about the King James Version of the Bible. And I know some folks like, well, I don't think that's too important. But I want to tell you, friend, it is important. And I was speaking Thursday at BBTI, the Baptist Bible Translators in Bowie, and I was talking to Dr. Cobb there, who is in charge of that, and we were discussing the King James Bible, and he was pointing me to some things I had not really seen before about the these and the thous and how exact they were in the Greek language, and it has specific meaning to it. Anybody not understand thee? Anybody not understand thou? I don't have any problem with that. People call it archaic language. I think it's pretty good language. And so it's the Word of God. And so the King James Bible has been preached here. And I think, without question, it is the most accurate, based on the most ancient manuscripts that we have in existence today. Could I hear someone say amen to that? And so Dr. Barber preached salvation by grace alone. I like that, don't you? I wouldn't want to be a member of a church that preached salvation by any other means. The water works and works. And he went on, and of course, this is an independent, autonomous, self-governing, fundamental Baptist church. We are associated with the IBFI, Independent Baptist Fellowship International. But we are not in a structure that is something where you join and you pull out like you would maybe a convention or something of that nature. It is a loose-knit fellowship, and you come in, you can take your hat off and stay a while, and when you get ready to leave, put your hat on and leave. It's a fellowship. So we do have that fellowship in the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary, which today is a day that a lot of churches are honoring the seminary. It's a good school, and I thank God for it. But Dr. Barber taught about the return of Christ. You heard him preaching on that this morning. And the separation from worldliness was something that was preached by him back in those days for sure. And 35 years, Dr. Raymond Barber showed moral and financial integrity and was a Christian gentleman and still is. Amen. Don't take that for granted. I mean, most churches, I was telling my doctor the other day, I had to get a shot the other day so I could maybe preach today, and a steroid shot and all of that, and I told him what I was going to be doing, and he said, well, I'll give you a steroid shot. And he said, how long are you there? And I told him, the nurse was typing. She said, ooh, that's a long time. I said, well, Dr. Barber, my predecessor, was there 35 years. She said, wow. Most people don't know that churches have pastors that stay that long. And like you heard Dr. Barber say, about 18 months. Can you believe that is the tenure for most pastors during this time? And Dr. Barber relocated the facilities during that time. And let me tell you something. Please understand, it took faith and prayers to build all of this. Don't ever take it for granted. I hope you will not. And, of course, he was a faithful pastor. He was a very busy professor in the school. He had the privilege of teaching me, and I had the privilege of sitting under him. And he was a very busy man and pastored the church and was a pastor at the very same time. And he, when I came, I might mention here too that behind every great preacher and every man of God like that is a wonderful wife. And kudos to Ms. Barber, who's been always a supporter and encourager and a great example of what a pastor's wife should be. And we praise God for that. Dr. Barber left me with a strong church and a good deacon's fellowship. Oh, there may have been one guy, but nevertheless, I won't call any names. But I'm kidding. But he left me with a mature, godly group of deacons. And let me tell you, you don't get that anywhere you go. And I thank God for that. And they understood pastoral leadership. Well, then he passed that baton on to me in April 1997, and I pastored here actually 18 years and 8 months. And I tried to continue the same philosophies and the same doctrine and the same stand that Dr. Barber had and Bob Barber had all those years. And God put together here right at the end of my ministry a wonderful staff. And I thank God. Don't you think we have a great staff? Amen. And back then it was Brother Rigsby, Brother Johnson, Brother Gillett, myself. And I thank God for that. I had a good music program. And I want to thank God for Madeline. Don't ever take her for granted over there playing that piano. I was watching all those requests and she just played away, you know. That's exactly what I would do, but if I could. But I can't. But I'm thankful for that. And God put a staff together. God left me with a good staff as they came together. And somebody said, well, how did you get these men, Brother Johnson, Brother Gillett? It's a God thing. God put them here. God just put them here. And I'm thankful. Now, I inherited a couple of secretaries. I don't know. But you understand, they were here. They were here when I came, okay? No, they're great. They're great secretaries, and I appreciate them so much. But now we're in the present, Brother Gillett, Brother Tyler Gillett. And let me tell you, this man, as he worked here about 8 years, he proved himself. He proved himself in every way to myself, the rest of the staff, the deacons, the leadership. He proved himself. And I know he's very young looking. You'll get over that, Pastor, I promise you. You won't have red hair long after you pass to this church a little while. It'll change colors. But he proved himself, even though he was young. And I know some folks thought about it, and I had some say, well, he's pretty young, isn't he? Let me tell you something. There's three names for pastor in the Bible, elder, bishop, and pastor, basically. And so bishop means he's the overseer. That's the way it ought to be. He's not a hireling. He's an overseer and a pastor. But the word elder does not necessarily mean age at all. If you study the real meaning of that word, it means maturity and wisdom. That's exactly what it means. Not length of years, but mature growth. And so God gave him mature growth at a young age, and I'm thankful that the church called him with a 97-98% vote. And I had no reservations about recommending him. Dr. Barber didn't. Our board of directors, of deacons, did not either. And so we thank God for that. Now under his leadership, a little over 2 years, he's put together even a better staff, more staff workers. If I'd have known I could have afforded that, I would probably have hired more. And you would have appreciated that. Had many roles. But at any rate, what a staff we have now. And I thank God for our staff, a good staff. What about the future, though? What about the future of the church? I think all of us would like the church to excel. Amen. 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 I know I would. By the way, I'm thankful, Dr. Barber, you and I are still welcome here. As you well know, in a lot of churches where people have served that long, they're not even welcome. In fact, I served at a church in Indiana for 20 years, and I am not really welcome there anymore. I mean, I could go in, they wouldn't throw me out, but they have gone liberal. They've gone in another direction, and that's a story we're hearing all over the place. But all of us need to help strengthen Worth Baptist Church. Now, how are we going to do that? Let me hit these very quickly, Brother Sides. Number one, be faithful. Be faithful. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves or yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. Be faithful to the house of God, the church that God founded, and stick and stay. Vance Havner talks about church gypsies. Let me read this to you. I'm trying not to be negative. My wife says, don't be negative. No, I'm trying not to be negative. There are religious grasshoppers and church gypsies who never can find a pastor or church good enough for them, who chase favorite preachers and live on samples brought back from Canaan instead of crossing Jordan and living in the promised land themselves, packing their notebooks with epigrams, but not hiding the word in their hearts. Some of them have the impression that one is not living the Christian life unless he is in a state of ecstasy at a high-pressure meeting. They want to fly all the time and have found no grace for running without weariness or walking without fainting. They go up like rockets and come down like rocks. Now, I didn't say that. Vance Havner said that, so. But it is true. You ought to find a good church home and stay. Now, you say, preacher, should anybody ever leave? Yeah, sometimes it's good to move. Sometimes the church changes. Sometimes the pastor goes liberal. A lot of other different things. There are times God moves, but it shouldn't be some petty thing. It shouldn't be some small offense from some other member in the church or you're being backslidden that keeps you out of this church. You ought to stick and stay with the church and be faithful to this good old-fashioned Bible-preaching, soul-winning, missions-minded church. Number two, very quickly, be loving. If we're going to do it, we're going to have to be loving. In other words, you need to have a sweet spirit and love your church. I love this church. And I know Dr. Barber does and others. And I believe most of you here and probably all of you love this church. We ought to love it. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We ought to provoke each other to love. Now, we stop that verse just a little bit early. We provoke each other sometimes, but we ought to provoke each other to what? Love and good works. Everybody in here ought to be working on everybody else to help us love each other and work hard for the glory of God. Number three, be supportive in your giving. Be supported in your giving. Give liberally to God, and I might add, give liberally to man. Give liberally to them. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. That's plain. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And so we need to have a church that is giving. Listen, per capita giving of our church is probably higher than a lot of churches our size, but we haven't begun to do what we can do in this church. If everybody would start tithing and giving and do what God says and just simply believe the word of God, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, I promise you I've lived long enough to say I know that's the absolute truth. I believed it by faith. Now I know it by experience. God will bless your giving. And I wouldn't want to be somebody who robbed from God. There's so many things that need to be done and can be done if people do that. We ought to knock that global offering just right out of the park. And I believe we will. I hope it will. If not, Dr. Barber, give the balance. But at any rate, whatever's left, just let him know. And it'll be knocked out of the park. Number four, be separated. Live distinctively for God. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God says we should be a separated people. Now that doesn't mean you've got to dress up like a Catholic nun or a Mennonite, but it does mean, and Mennonites, I have some wonderful friends that are Mennonites. I'm not knocking them, but the old order Mennonites still wear them. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we need to live separate lives and be separated from worldliness. And let me tell you what I'm seeing in a lot of our churches around is a lot of worldliness is creeping in. We must stay on guard and live a holy, godly, pure, clean life. 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. To be an honorable thing to the name of God if we live a holy, godly, pure, clean life. And I see something else going on in some of our churches. In fact, some of our young couples not so long ago, maybe one or two, have gone to churches where they think that social drinking is fine. And they didn't like the stand that we had here on that. But I want to tell you, that'll get you in trouble. We need to take a stand and keep standing. I might add this footnote too a little bit here on this particular point, that we ought to be modest in our churches. You see, you're the light and salt to the world, and ladies, you ought to be modest. You ought to dress modestly. This is God's house. We are God's temples. We represent the Lord. Now get off of that. Number five, be scriptural. What do you mean? Stay with the scriptures. Stay with the scriptures. I'm glad the pastor put the scriptures in the bulletins, and I've heard a lot of people saying, I'm catching up, or I'm about caught up, or I'm right on line. That's a good thing to get us in the Word of God as a local body. What a wonderful thing. As a faith family, we're in the Word of God. Read it, study it, hear it preached, hear it taught. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And my friend, if you're not in this book, you're hurting this church. You'll never be the strong Christian. We'll never have a strong church unless our people are in the book. Number six, be sold out. Be sold out. Be fully committed to the things of the Lord. We don't need slipshod service in God's Word. If anybody ever deserved the very best, it's Jesus Christ. And He deserves that from all of us, wherever we're serving in ministry. Be sold out, fully committed to the things of God. Sold out to the things of God in our marriages, amen. Sold out to the things of God in our homes. That may mean that you need to change a few things. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Stay sold out. Don't backslide and look back. That's what God is saying. Number seven, be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. In other words, take the gospel to others. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then He turns around and told you and me we're to do the very same thing. He left heaven to come down here for that reason. He left us the Great Commission, and He told us to go out and do that. And we need to do it. Take the gospel to others. I know the pastor has an emphasis coming up on soul winning, training for that. My friend, get involved in that. Learn all you can. And if you don't know what else to do, just tell them how you got saved. Amen. Be a soul winner. Number eight, be sensitive to others. In our church, we need to be sensitive to the needs of each other. You know, so many times the church gets this size and we forget there are people in our congregation have needs. Seek them out. Find out what they might be. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity. You don't have to look very far until you find that. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now he's going to narrow it down a little bit. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's us, those who are the household of faith, those who are saved. And so we should try to help one another and encourage one another. It's very important that we love and encourage one another in our local church. That'll always keep it strong. There shouldn't be any factions in the youth department. There shouldn't be any faction in any Sunday school class or anything, anybody on the staff or anything else. We ought to work together for the mutual benefit of everybody so that we can bring more honor and more glory to God. Then number 9, be willing to stand. I only have 20 of these, Brother Sides, but be willing to stand. Take a stand for the things of God. 2 Timothy 4:7, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Take a stand. Keep the faith. I file a lot of things that people give me, and I have a system where I can go back and pull it up. Barbara Harvey gave me this poem one time. I filed it, and in studying for this message, I ran across it, and I want to share it with you right now. If everyone is the title of it. She titled it, If Everyone. If everyone in my church came as often as me, would my church be open only occasionally? If everyone in my church gave just like me, could we even afford electricity? You'd be shocked at the electric bill at this church. You would be absolutely, most of you wouldn't believe it. If everyone in my church witnessed just like me, how many souls for Christ's kingdom would there be? If everyone in my church prayed like me, would my church grow cold from apathy? If everyone in my church read God's word like me, would our church fail and cease to be? No power. If everyone in my church were just like me, you've heard that expression, what kind of church would this church be? What kind of church would this church be? What kind of church will it be in the future if all the members are just like you? That's something to ponder. And I want you today to take these challenges, these thoughts, so that Worth Baptist Church will have a great future. And I firmly believe some of the best days of this church ever are just around the corner. If, little word, big meaning, if we do what God says we should do. The choir closed out or sang a song earlier in the early service, and part of the lyrics were, lift up the cross. And that's exactly what we need to do. Lift up Jesus. Lift up the cross. Let's stand, please. Our heads will be bowed, and we'll have just a verse or two of invitation. I'll turn it over to the pastor. But if you... And I'm not trying to get people at the altar and trying to trick you, but I want to say this. If you want to see this church go and grow and you want God's blessings to be on it and you feel led of the Spirit of God, you must feel led of the Spirit of God, come down to this altar and pray for it. And pray even today that God would help you to do these things and other things that would make this church the kind of church in the future that God wants it to be. It's a good church now, but it can be better. There's more that can be done. And may I encourage you to come. If you're not saved, come and be saved. If there's something in your life that's you're out of God's will, may I say to you, my dear friend, you're hurting this church. If you're living in sin, you say, well, it doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody knows about it but me. Well, God knows about it, and it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, this is a body. And it hurts the church when you're not living a holy life for Him. And Father, I pray now You'd speak, and I believe You have spoken to our hearts. May Your will be done. I pray today for this church that You'd bless it. I pray for our pastor that You'd continue to give him the vision and our deacon fellowship that they would cooperate and work with him, and that the future of this church can get done what it needs to be done. That all of these things that I've just mentioned today would mesh together for a great future, all to the glory of God and presenting the Savior to a lost and dying world. In His name we pray. Amen.